Accession number 20461, reel 15.
So what were the Japanese tactics like at that period, that first 4 or 5 days you were on your own?
Well, the Japs,
which were like us in the end, they more or less waited for the night time. As soon as it became night time, then they all come to life. Very little movement during the day, for the simple reason we were dug in, so they would be the losers. But they had lots and lots of troops, and they could afford to waste them. So every now and again you get a daylight attack. Yeah, and every now and again, especially at that time when Lance Corporal Harmon was there, that, a lot of that happened in the daytime, and they were in the bakery. Got into the bakery and they operated from there with their mortars. You couldn't see the mortars, but they mortar from them positions where they weren't seen, and that's what they did. And then they'd send a patrol out to see what damage they'd done, that sort of thing. And of course, that's when sometimes our blokes had to fall back because they were overwhelmed with mortars and stuff. Yeah, and we weren't really well dug in, you know, it was just slit trenches and that sort of thing. And that's what happened. And gradually they were really turning the screw on us, gradually, slowly, all the time. And every night they were coming closer and closer. And our wounded, we had a job to deal with the wounded. We left them, if they were wounded in the pits, we couldn't get them out. They had to stay there. And as it got worse and worse, then I think the Rajputs were coming up from the second div. They gradually came in on the top spurs, and they gradually, that stopped the Japs attacking us down the low parts, because they were being attacked by our, and we gradually the guns, one or two of our guns picked them off up top, and that's whatever. But they got desperate then, instead of our chaps up there were advancing slowly. So what the Japs done, they brought up more troops down on the lower part, DC's bungalow and that area, and they put in lots of attacks, daylight attacks and night attacks. As I say, they gradually infiltrated in, but then for some day or other they all quietened down. But then we didn't know that they were reinforcing themselves for any, if they were being attacked, that sort of thing. It was a springboard to come up the hill.
Were you aware of the British second Div movement?
Yes, we got that. It's the second Div of slow, but they're gradually coming up the hill. And they lost a lot of men. Yeah, second Div lost a lot of men. They were the Japs were waiting for them. They knew what was happening, and they must have had some troops there. Crikey, when you think about it. Yeah, we fell back one time there, fell back with our second div. Yeah, and then we had another div come up on, I can't tell what, it was another division came up to reinforce them. And that's, ours gradually, with the aircraft, I think we're bombing Imphal. I think they're bombing the Japs around that area. But then gradually, as you know, things were beginning to get better.
Did you feel at any stage that the Japanese might take the positions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was, put it, the first 3 days, I thought we're trapped. You know, we were trapped, weren't we? And I thought, that's it. Where's our bloody troops? Where's our other where's all these other bloody divisions? That was the cry. We were pretty demoralised at that time. But then, let's say 4th, 5th day, 6th day, 7th day, you know.
Did you get used to being in that situation?
Oh yeah, yeah, believe it or not, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, shit. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And at that stage, after it had gone on, the siege was going on for a number of days, although the Japanese, you say, were gradually putting the screws on you. Did you feel that you would hold on to your positions then, by that stage?
I thought, yeah, we did one night there, we really copped it bad. You know, they seemed to, the shells were just hitting above our trenches, you know, and the stuff's falling down, and that was dodgy, that was really dodgy.
Was that airburst they were using?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Had you, in your trenches, attempted to build any roofing across them?
Oh, yeah, we worked all the time. I mean, that was our incentive to make yourself as safe as you could, yeah. But when you only got a rifle and a couple of grenades that time, that's when before we moved out and got some other, you know, some other grenades from down on the... on that other position, we got grenades from there and brought them back up. We, you know, you thought, see, not knowing, see, not knowing B Company was attacked or not knowing whether B Company drove them off, didn't know nothing about that. All this was when it was all over, you know. Cool. Yeah, that's, no, it's, but we did, you know, they said that a platoon of the 2nd Division, one of the platoons had got so-and-so up there and the Japs had, they killed all the Japs up there, you know, where they'd stayed and all that. Then another lot, then the Indians attacked and, you know, and gradually, you know, and then, of course, we were supposed to be relieved. I think Captain Steady came down to us. I think it was about the 14th day, in daylight. And he said, we'd be... I was his runner. And he said that we go around and tell the other lads that we'd probably be pulling out today. That was about the 14th day. But we didn't. We were there another couple of days. Things got hotted up again. Japs hotted up things. Started attacking. There was only a few yards from our command post. Yeah. And, I mean, the old colonel was in there, and the Japs were about 30 yards away. So that was about the 14th day. But
you say 30 yards away. Was that roughly the distances that you were getting away from the Japanese?
Yeah, that's how close they were getting. Yeah.
Yeah. And how were they advancing? Were they trying to tunnel at all, do you think? Or were they just... taking ground and digging in,
you wouldn't know. Night time they were dug down enough to conceal themselves. But another thing we didn't know at the time was my brother-in-law, I told you, I was married to the one that's on that here, Jack Eves. He was a colour sergeant, and him and sergeant, another sergeant than that, they went back down to the DC, I think down by the DC's bungalow, and when they got down there, the Japs were in there, all in there, you know, smoking and that. And he got the MM for it, Jack, him and Captain Sergeant so-and-so, they collected a load of grenades and just went down there and chucked the grenades in, and old Jack got the MM for that. Yeah, that was on the DC's bungalow. That was right, you know, time for coming out. That was about that time when we were supposed to be coming out. The Japs had got in there. Yeah.
So in the 16 days, there was never any let up from the pressure of the Japanese.
No. Now, well, matter of fact, as we was pulling out, they mortared us when we put it out on the 16th day. As we come out, to come down the ridge, like they shelled us, mortared us, and everything. Yeah, a lot of wounded, a lot of killed.
Who had arrived at that stage to relieve you in your positions on the tennis court?
Well, just the lorries came up the road, and they didn't come right up to Coima. We had to march a long way down the road to pick up these trucks. That was it.
Were they British troops or Indian troops?
Indian drivers.
No, yeah. I mean the troops who relieved you in your positions.
No, Berkshire Regiment. Yeah, Royal Berkshire. Oh, yeah, we sat, before we moved off, because I was a runner, sat there and talking about it, and in fact, we had three of our blokes dead in the pits there. We had to leave them, yeah. And I've tried hard. I know one was Horace Collins. I know Horace Collins, and I think it was one of the Browns. No, I don't know any of the other ones. Three of them, we left them there, and that was terrible. And of course, these West Ham said, what are you going to do with these then? And they were, you know, they were only like us, you know. And you're going to bury them? And we're moving out? Yeah, you're our relief. Sod that, you know, all that sort of jargon. Yeah, and we left them there.
Did you give them any advice, though?
Yeah, we did. Told them, we said, wait for tonight. And we don't want to frighten you, mate, but watch for tonight. Keep well clear. Keep your eyes open. Yeah. And they did. They attacked them. As we'd gone, they thought, well, they're raw. Thought we might make some advance on them. But, of course, they had good plenty of reinforcements then. And Berkshire's moved in, and somebody else moved in further up, and gradually. But it was some time before the Japs left Coima. Long time.
Because you were pulling out down the ridge. You say you were mortared. Were there any casualties?
Yes. And in fact, one or two of the trucks got it again. Yeah.
Can I ask you at that stage what physical state you were in after that 16 days?
Well, I can tell you that, all right. Yeah, because imagine we never had a shave or anything, not a wash, clothes were stunk, that sort of thing, were shattered. In fact, when we got in the lorry, we all fell asleep, and bloody starving too. Yeah, pitiful.
Had you been ill at all?
No. Funny, isn't it? I had the shites and all that sort of thing, but... not really, I know. I was just tired on it. Yeah, I'm actually, when I think about it now, I think I'm bloody lucky. Really lucky. Because I know for a fact, all them chaps are gone that I was with. They're all dead. Died of illness and old age and that sort of thing. Bobby Clinch, Freddie Clinch, all them, Dick Hook, Trangmar, they're all gone. Now, I'll say, it was only about 10 of us in our platoon. The rest of them had been taken out and gone somewhere else.
Had you been wounded at all?
Nope. I got wounded at Dunkirk. I got hit in the leg.
No, I meant it.
Yeah, no, up, no, no. Nope. Nope.
So as you were pulling out, did you know where you were going back to? Did you?
Well, yeah, it was only the road going that way. You knew that was Dimapur, pretty work, you know.
Were you apprehensive that the Japanese might cut the road again?
No. My thought was get out of here and get something to eat and sleep. That's all I was interested in. Yeah, that's all. Back, rest, something to eat. Yeah.
So how did you feel about having spent those 16 days at that time?
Well, I thought myself... in fact, I thought it and we discussed it. I thought myself, what with bloody Dunkirk, what with the bloody desert, and now this lot. Where's it going to end? Yeah.
Because at that time, I mean, afterwards, Coima became really, and Coima and Imphal were the part where the Japanese army was broken in Burma.
That's right.
But did you have any feeling at the time that that was actually the case? That you'd...
No. I thought it was... that sort of thing was happening all over Burma, in my opinion, at that time. Didn't you? You see, don't know. Being a humble private, you know what I mean? You mustn't think. You're not entitled to think. I'd done plenty of that. Back to Dimapur, and I thought it was, we were going to have a long, long rest. I thought we'd earned it. And we had quite a few days there. Okay, quite a few days, and then we've got a few reinforcements from another regiment, and then we was on the move again. We moved up past Kohima into Imphal. We was in Imphal for some of quite a long time, taking up positions. They didn't actually affect us much, but the Japs were still attacking Imphal at the time, and then we bypassed Imphal, and they went and this the thing I can't remember. I think it might have been the Jessamy Track. I'm not sure about that, but we went down the Jessamy Track, all mud, and I think it was the time of the monsoons. We were bogged down for a long time. And we went down through there, and there's nothing much happening, just the odd one or two Japs we found dead, you know, on the roadside.
What condition were they in?
Terrible state, yeah. As I say, all what we met were starving. I remember one Jap, and his pack on his back, there was rice growing about a foot long, you know, grown out like corn, yeah, and that's what they were trying to survive on. That's why, once again, I can't think any other troops in the world could put up with what they did. No way.
And how were you moving? What were you moving in vehicles?
No, marching in the mud. Well, there was one or two jeeps, but they were, you know, having a hard job to get through a dig, and they were digging them out and then to move on so far. No, it was a terrible grind, that was.
Did you take any precautions at night?
We did, but I can't exactly tell you when we started on meprocrine. We had the meprocrine that was for malaria.
Was actually meaning in your positions, when you took up positions at night and you were sleeping, did you protect the positions you were in?
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, yes, every time, yes. Always on the, you know, to be on the alert and that. But there was hardly any action at all down through there. Hardly at all. But we were still pushing on and on. And as I say, and then a lot of places we came to, but I mean, I couldn't begin to tell you the names of them, but as I say, we pushed on, and then I think at that time we come onto the Tidham Road. I'm pretty sure it's something like that, onto the Tidham Road, and then it was all a lot of good roads, some bad where they had landslides, that sort of thing. We were pushing on all the time. I was going to say we had one or two skirmishes, but
what did they form? Did they take?
I think, really speaking, you had the feeling that they were rattled. You know, they were on there, and I think a lot of them were told to stay there and attack whoever came through to attack us. You know, that sort of thing. But there was one incident there that comes to mind. We stopped one night for food, and in the early hours of the morning, there was a couple of rifle shots rung out, and It got to our knowledge, I didn't actually see it myself, but it got to our knowledge that a Jap had got lost, and he hid there alongside of one of our platoons, hid there, and he actually got in. There must be some truth in it, because in the morning, they shot him in the morning, and he'd sneaked somebody's mess tin So he must have been in the queue and got food in the dark. And that's that was it.
So he was hunting for food rather than...
Well, I have discussed this with old Les and that. And I think he was. I think he was just about finished and he was lost. I think he was actually lost and, he just kept quiet and took it all in what to do, and he sort of made it was easy for him because there was the food and he wasn't recognised. I don't know, probably wasn't in Jap uniform, we don't know, but he got his meal and went to sleep, and they found him in the morning fast asleep. So there you are. That is true, but as I say, how it happened like that, I don't know. Yeah.
So what happened next?
Then it was a question of moving on again. I did hear at the time, but I've never put much importance to it, that we had a night bomber, night fighter bomber, and apparently our cooks were cooking with the pressure cookers, cooking, and and we'd advanced too far down the Tidham Road, and apparently they see the light and they just dropped a couple of bombs down there, but didn't do any damage. That's the thing I heard, but not absolutely sure. Yeah.
Now, there's one thing I need to ask you about this. At this stage, had you been involved with making the Kahima Cross?
Oh, yes, that was before.
Should we do the story about that, if you can tell me in some detail about...
Well, I did say to you, Ernest Donald and myself went back somewhere, I don't know, was on a jeep, and we picked out this teak, Burma teak, and we brought it back and, prepared it, made it into the cross, scarved it, made the actual cross. And then, as I say, somebody else took over then. But that's all I can tell you about that.
And where's the cross now?
Oh, the cross is in Maidstone Museum. Yeah, that's in Maidstone Museum.
And where did that stand?
Have you been to Maidstone Museum? Ah, right.
I was meaning, where was it at Kahima? Did it stand on the tennis court?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
so it's where the memorial was.
Actually, I only saw a picture of it. I had nothing to do with the erection of it or anything, but they erected it there where the all the fighting was, and then when I think second division, I think they built the proper. I think I got it there. I did show you, didn't I? And then, as I say, all them years later. And then Bobby Clint said to me, "Here, what do you think?" He says, "Was it Colonel Dixon? I don't know, but I think it might have been Colonel Dixon. They were in touch with him, and probably Win Stanley. I don't really know. And they said the cross is in a poor condition. We've got it, and we think we'd best ask you what would you like to do with it." Would you like us to, send it back to you? So, and then Bobby Clinch came to me and said, they're going to send the cross, and I've accepted to receive it and restore it, see what condition it's in and restore it. But I never actually see it when it came back. I only saw it sometime later when they said the cross now is in... Tunbridge, down at Tunbridge, in the Kohima, where we have our receptions and that. And so I went down with Bob to see it. And then the next thing is that they asked the Maidstone Museum if they'd like it, and they said yes. So I went back there, and then they fixed it on the wall. As you go in the main doorway, you walk up the steps. On to your right is the Royal West Kent Museum, War Museum. It's only a small place. On the left is the cross is fixed on the wall there. Yeah, I did show you photos, did I? Yeah. My granddaughter went in there on Sunday, and
She said, I said, did you see the cross? She said, no. What cross? I said, the wooden cross. She said, no. I said, well, you're blind. I said, because it's only just inside the doorway. She says, oh, because she's got an Australian girl with her, from just come over from Australia. She said, I did, Granddad, I'm sorry. She said, I didn't connect it with you at all. She said, I did see the cross. I thought it's from Kosovo. Having to do with Kosovo. She said, that's all, I just glanced at it. I said, you blimey, you better go back tomorrow and have another look.
So had you been, you'd actually selected the wood, was that that period when you came back to Dimmapur?
Yes, right.
In those few, you weren't there for very long, were you?
No, I wasn't there long, no.
That's when you selected the wood, before you started advancing down the Dimmapur road.
Yeah. I know, at that time, now you come to mention it, one other thing that's come to mind is that I understand that I think Les Crouch at that time and Dick Hook, I think they refurbished the Brigadier Warren's caravan. I think I've got that right. When we were doing the cross. Yeah, there was only a few of us pioneers then. They'd all disappeared. Yeah, I think I got that right. And then, of course, Brigadier Warren, he made up to, what was he, higher rank, and then, of course, he got killed in an air crash, wasn't he? Yeah.
So, you after you made the cross, you moved down the Tidham Road, as you were explaining.
That's right, we moved out of there then. That's right. I never see what happened to the cross then, no.
And what happened next on the Tidham Road after these clashes you'd had with the Japanese?
Well, as I say, we're down the Tidham Road. It was, just a question of, because we had more troops in. So we had two or three other divisions, and we were like leapfrogging each other over. We'd be back in rear guard, then you take your turn up. And that's all the way down. Until we got to, I know we had a bit of trouble at, was it Pegu, yeah, I can't, as I say, it was very, we did have a lot to do after that, really.
Did you come out of the line at all during that advance for any rest periods?
No, only like a rest, you didn't come out, you... As I say, you were leapfrogged over, and then you were back and having a rest at the back, but you were still, you know, like rear guard, defending the rear, that sort of thing. And there was one incident on Milestone 82 to Rangoon. There's a lot happened before we got there, but it's so hazy, you know, it's nothing really worth reporting. But at Milestone 82... It was Christmas, I'm pretty sure it's Christmas Day, not too sure about that, but I don't know, earlier on, I may have told you about, we had a new Sergeant Major come from England, I think that's down there somewhere, and he